Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. This is truly a day that God has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. God saw fit to allow us to come on tonight. He cleared the airwaves, and I'm so glad about it. Glory, hallelujah. Tonight, our lesson title is going to be Moving Forward with the Word of God. We're going to come from Matthew's, the 6th chapter, the 24th through the 33rd verse. I just want to thank God tonight, y'all, for allowing us to walk into a new year, a new season, for another reason. God is a good God. At this time, I'm going to play a song. And we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together. A brand new day, y'all. A brand new year. And God has seen fit to allow all of us to come back one more time. And we shouldn't take it for granted, because God is truly in the blessing business. Hallelujah. And God is taking care of his children. I thank God, y'all, for allowing me to be able to go before his people. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule week after week to come to explore the Word of God together, one with another, the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. God always wanted fellowship for his believers. God said everybody have something. When you see people in the world, they hang together. They do things together. People who do all sorts of things, they group themselves together because of the likeness. And we, the body of Christ, is fellowshipping tonight in the Word of God because of our likeness. And we want to take on the image of Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. God's honor it. And I thank you. I'm going to play this song and I'm going to come back. And we're going to go to God's throne of grace with our dear intercessor, Sister Pam, that's on the line. And she's ready to bring us to the throne of grace. So the title of this song is Let the Church Say Amen.
Amen.
No matter how you feel it or how your world is real.
church say, oh, lift your hands wherever you are and let the church. Let the church say, all we needed was a word from the Lord. We've got it, so let the church
say,
oh, let the whole church
say,
God has spoken. Well, 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 let the church, let the church say, let the church say. To die,
amen.
Knowing that God is not a man,
amen.
He just can't lie,
amen.
In spite of what,
amen.
What the devil does.
Entered a new year, dear God. And many people are making resolutions and deciding how they're going to make the new year better. But God, we realize that no matter what goes on in what year, God, if it's your will and your way, we just have to, as the church, stand and say, amen. No matter what's going on, we realize that this world don't love nobody, and evil does what evil does, and y'all got to testify to the fact that many of the things that happened in 2023, when the New Year clock struck midnight, it didn't disappear, it just crossed on over. And so now you're still dealing with, because God didn't promise us a rose garden. It's not what comes our way, it's who we go through it with. And we have to take and look at God, believe he's a rewarder of them that seek him. We have to believe that he didn't make mistakes, and he's a God of enoughness, and he's true, and he won't leave us nor forsake us, and he can't lie, and he's the same yesterday, today, and always, and he has guaranteed us salvation by the blood of his son Jesus for our eternal life. Let the church say amen. No matter what you're going through, my sisters and brothers, God didn't bring us this far to leave us. God is still working things out for our good. God, the God that holds us in the palm of his hand, and the God that allows his spirit to lead us, and the God that sent his son, and the God that adopted all of us and made us heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ, the God, hallelujah, the God of mercy and the God of grace. Oh, we just have to learn. You know, we use a word plenty of people say these days is bunka. When things is going on a certain way, bunka. And then we got to learn how to say amen, touching and agreeing, whatever God's will is, let it be done and be all right with it and keep it moving. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That song, the church say amen, has value because God has spoken. He spoke in 2023, and he's going to speak in 2024. And we as the believers, the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, have to say amen to God's will. He don't make no mistakes. He don't make any mistakes. And he didn't give up on any of us. And just like in 2023, he's going to do it in 24. He's going to love us in spite of and not because of. Because
amen.
That's the kind of God he is.
Amen.
And at this time, I'll turn everything over to Sister Pam. Sister Pam, have your way.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year's, and it's a pleasure to be back. This is the prayer list for January the 3rd, 2024. Barbara's grandson, Nelson McKenzie, Juanita Stills, Lawrence Garten and family, David Webb, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Lacaze, Zabrian Williams, Angel Taylor, Linda Howard, Latasha Harlan, Jada Porter, Barbara, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Hades, Brother KJ, Minister Diane Adams and family, Maddie Renato, Katina, Orlando, Jace and Gina, Michael and Ashley, Sandra Oliver and family, Minister Paula Cloud, Brother Corey, Janario Achilles, Nelson Johnson, Maddie Trotter, Glenn Butler, Karen Lewis, Yvonne Richardson, Pastor Willie Moulton, Carla Williams, Brother and Sister Charlie Harris, Sister Galatian Daniels, Sister Geraldine Jones, Almeda Taylor, Jalen Dawson, Cyree Chung, Isaiah Mensah and family, Micah Lewis, Jarius McClendon, and Cameron Olafit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to enter into another year. Lord, we pray for your continuous guidance throughout this new year. We thank you, Father God, for the gift of life on tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for salvation that you give so freely. Lord, we always thanking you for our minister, Diane Adams, our sister in Christ, our teacher, a prayer warrior. Lord, thank you for our Bible study family. Please continue to bless our Bible study. Heavenly Father, we come on this first Wednesday in a new year to lift up the names of everybody that's on our prayer list. Lord, whatever illness, chaos, trouble, sickness, anxiety, worries that they may be up against, fix it, O Lord. Search them through and through. Whatever shouldn't be, just cast it out. Strengthen them where they may be weak. Build them up where they may be torn down. Make them whole again, Lord Jesus. May the Lord grant them an explosion of blessing throughout this new year. Father God, I ask that you touch, heal, deliver, and set free. And it's Christ Jesus' name that I give thanks and amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, my sister. You were faithful in 2023, and you're starting off faithful in 2024. That's what
Amen.
God is looking for. That's what God is looking for, his children to be serving, kingdom builders, doing what God has given us in our hand to do. And I thank you, my sister. And I know God honors it. And when I heard the prayer list going on, some of the names have been on there a long time. And sometimes my sister Pam and myself get together to see should some name be taken off. Now, when someone dies, we take the name of the deceased person off because they have died, but we put their family on because now they need prayer. But as the names was called, and she called out my name, and I know I'm in need of prayer. So I just say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And anytime anybody would like to add more names to the prayer list, you know, prayer is the thing that changes things, and we need more prayer. You know, I'm not making a resolution, but I know we need more prayer in 24 than we prayed before. Satan is pumping up the volume, and we got to pump up our prayer. And it's almost like there's a lot of people and places and things that need prayer all around the world. It's almost like we could get on the phone and read the prayer list, and it takes the whole hour.
Yes, Lord.
But if anybody have anyone they would like to add to the list, I would just like to add my granddaughter, Mecca, M-E-C-C-A, on the list as well.
Okay. I got it, Mecca.
And thank you. We're going to go ahead and start in our lesson tonight. I thank God for opening the airwaves. You know, we was off for 2 weeks because the studio was doing whatever it was doing, and we weren't able to get in, but God saw fit tonight. And all I can say is glory, hallelujah. And I thank you guys for your faithfulness because you came on tonight, even after being off for 2 weeks. But God is able, y'all. And all I can say is amen.
Amen.
And I want to start off, you know, I had a lesson for the new year, and but, you know, with God, every day is new. He promised that he give us new mercies and new grace every day. Every day we should strive to be better than we was yesterday, than using a year span, 365 days, to try to think about making a decision. I'm not taking away from New Year's resolutions because it has been happening before the beginning of the time. You see, if we go back, the Babylonians made promise to their God to start each year that they will return the borrowed objects and pay their debts. It ain't nothing new, y'all. You see, the Romans begin each year by making promises to the god Janus, for whom the month of January was named. And if I go all the way back to the medieval era, the knights took the peacock vow at the end of the Christmas season each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. Hallelujah. And the Christians at night, at watch night service, Christians reflect upon self-improvement with a desire to become better annually. Making New Year's resolution can be a good thing. But whatever you want to change, you got to begin with the end in mind, realizing that you must make it a lifelong change. Should be your goal, not just for 1 year. I want to tell you, just because it's this time of the year, if you set your goals too high or set too many, it makes it harder. You got to be realistic. And I could give this little thing that God has been placing in my spirit. All of us, by studying the word of God, if we go to church, we go to Bible study, Sunday school, so on and so on. All of us, I'll put it like this. I believe in the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. I believe it if God said it. But I can contest about myself. I believe it, but I haven't been able to achieve it all. And by saying that, all of us, I don't know about y'all, I just stick with me. I have things in my life that I know need to be fixed. I'm not talking about no new thing. I'm talking about things I know already, and all of us have enough of knowing what is right and what is wrong, and we have to examine ourselves to know where we could change. But all of us have enough information to have some things that we can work on instead of adding new things on. I suggest that we begin with the end in mind, which means to envision what you want in the future so that you can work and plan towards it. You see, these changes should become a way of life. We must begin to set our sights on things above, which would guarantee success when we realize that only those things done for Christ will last. We should make our plans with a spirit of expectancy, knowing with God all things are possible. Because it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, we must let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. And you got to remember this and know this, and it's so beautiful, because all the provisions necessary for you to change your changes, whatever you want to change, the provisions is already provided for you to do it. God is working on us, circumcising our heart, working on us from the inside to the outside. But it takes submission on our part, the desire to want to make our bodies a living sacrifice, and commitment to the things that the Holy Ghost is telling us that we could achieve our desires and what God has in store for us. God already told us that he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And tonight we're in the sixth chapter of Matthew. The sixth chapter of Matthew was a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Many times, many of God's people buy books and they go and on the TV and they listen to this preacher, that preacher. I want to tell you, if you ever want to hear the best sermon ever told, go to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It starts in Matthew, the fifth chapter, and it goes all the way through the seventh. God is teaching and preaching. Aha! And they say it's the greatest sermon ever told. But you see, in the sixth chapter, if we look at the sixth chapter tonight, even though I'm only expound on so many verses, I encourage you to go back and read it. But if you use that as your guide going forward, I think you will be in a better place as you continue to move forward in the things of God. Because you see, in the sixth chapter, Jesus is teaching on things that are necessary for us to live a life of success and righteousness. Don't forget that he has already provided some provisions, as I said earlier. You see, if you read this chapter and begin to do as it teaches you, you will not only have success for this year, but for the rest of your life until Jesus returns. You see, Jesus started off by teaching on giving. Hallelujah. Then he began teaching on prayer and how to pray and what to pray for and what prayers can do. He goes on to teach on fasting and how to fast. Then he teaches the rule of money, which is only temporal. And it's only treasures here on earth. The Bible tells us where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then if you go down to the 25th through the 31st verse, he speaks about worry. I believe that if you read, understand it, meditate daily on it, use it for your moral compass, you will succeed in life. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Jesus has given us a road map for life in his kingdom. His kingdom as kingdom builders. And now we're going to start expounding on the word. And I'm going to start with the 25th verse. And that verse reads as follows. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? You're worrying about your outward. What about your inward? Worrying about what to put on and trying to figure out what's inside of us that God needs to take out of us. Because of the ill effects of worry, God tell us do not worry about the needs that God promised to supply. Man can damage worry, really. Worry can damage your health, cause the object of your worry to consume you. You know how when you're worrying, you can't think of nothing? It disrupts your productivity. It negatively affects the way you treat others. You're going through and you're going to treat and look at people and answer them all rough because you're going through. And it reduces your ability to trust God because you're so concentrating. You are now concentrating on the worry. Are you experiencing any of these ill effects? And there's a difference I want to tell you tonight between worry and genuine concern. You see, worry immobilizes you. You can't move. You can't think. Many times people can't eat. They can't sleep. But concerns move you into action. Worry brings on fear, and fear is described as the evidence of something that appears to be real. Plenty of times we begin to worry before we have all of the information. You get a call and somebody tell you thus, 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 and so, and they didn't have the information right. But you took that call and you went straight to worry. By the time you get the truth, you ain't good for nothing. So all of it was for naught. We really do, y'all. We begin to worry before all the evidence, like I said, is in hand. And by the way, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are taught if we want to worry, then there's no need to pray. And we have to learn that when we pray, come on, y'all. There's no need to worry. You got to know God is going to have his way. Worrying can't change anything. Worrying has never fixed a problem. Your worrying does not make God change his mind. We got to remember God is in the midst of everything that is going on in our lives, and he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's in control, and he don't make mistakes. So let the church say amen. No, the word of God lets us know. Even when we can't hear his voice, you know, sometimes you're so tangled up, you don't want to go to church, you don't feel like praying, you can't read the Bible. But he wants us to know, even when we can't hear his voice, just trust his plan. He is God, and yes, he do understand. We must stop compromising our faith. But hold on to the confession of that faith. God understands. You can't really have a spirit of expectancy, y'all. Expecting something. What is you trying to expect? You got to begin with the end in mind. You got to know where you're going to get there, because you could get there and don't even know you're there. You could get off the road and get off track, and you're lost. Begin with the end in mind. And if we look at 24 to 32 verse, it says, behold, the fowl in the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are ye not much better than them? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic stature? Who can? And then 28 said, and why take a thought for raiment, mean clothing? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Y'all know Solomon had it going on. Solomon wore the best, ate the best, did the best, had the best, had the most. He was the top man, really, that Bible said to ever live. And Jesus, out of his mouth, in his sermon, said Solomon couldn't touch that. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass in the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe us? Jesus going to say, O ye of little faith. Verse 31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. 32. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. And when they use the word Gentiles, you know they're talking about anybody that's, well, a Gentile is anything other than a Jew. So when God made the Jews the promise, his promised people, the Gentiles wasn't even included in the religious things, and that's unsaved people. They were unsaved. So Jesus is saying, look, if you look at the Gentiles who haven't had the word of God, didn't have God as their master, if that's how they walk around and live, it's not right, but it's almost understandable. But when he see a child of God that has God as their father, Jesus as their Lord and Master, and the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we act the same way with that they do, that seems to be a problem. He goes on to say, for your heavenly Father know what you have need of all these things. Jesus is preaching to us tonight, y'all. You see, Jesus illustrated his point by referring to the objects in nature that were immediately at hand where he was teaching. You know, he was outside, and the birds was in the air, the flowers was in the field, and these are things that you're familiar with. See, that's the way he did it, so you could truly understand it. You know, we have some flowers, even a lily. It grows for a certain period of time, and the flower fades. He's saying, look how beautiful they are. So how beautiful do you think you are? Come on, y'all. He lets us know that we are better than they. Jesus is saying that all these things will pass away. They are only temporal, but he must take care of the ones that God has given him. And he's saying, I got you. See, I don't know if you really realize, but once God did a calling on all of our lives, and we had to accept the invitation. And when we accept the invitation to accept his son as our Savior, Jesus began to hold us in his unchanging hand. You see, because what he said in John 17 and 24. Now, this is Jesus talking to the Father. He say, Father, John 17 and 24. He say, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. Come on, y'all. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. You know, it's in the Bible, they say, when it's all said and done, Jesus is going to bring us to the Father and say, God, Father, all of them that you gave me, I'm bringing them back. So if Jesus, we say all the time, Jesus is our protector. If you can really comprehend that God has us, Jesus has us in his hand and holding us and responsible for us until he returns us to the Father, you ought to know and be able to say amen that everything is going to be all right. He said, everyone that you gave me, Father, I'm presenting them back to you, everybody except Judas. So when you accepted him, you in Jesus' hand, and Jesus is your protector, and he's got to provide for your daily living, and you're going in and you're coming out. Jesus. You see, and then Jesus goes on to say that the Gentile, meaning those who live by the world standard, and unsaved people seek after these things. We have to stop putting our priorities on the things of the world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, when you don't worry, you will find joy and have faith that is total confidence in God as your provider. You know, y'all remember the children of Israel walked in the wilderness for 40 years. God gave them mammon from heaven, birds out of the sky, waters out of rocks. And as Jesus talked about these clothes, he might have, you know, wanted to tell them how he may have said it, and it's not in the Bible. He said, you remember your clothes didn't wear out. You're worrying about clothes. Your sandals didn't wear out. That was on your feet. He said, because my Father got you. He gave you to me, and I'm supplying your daily needs according to God's riches and glory. It's a beautiful thing. You have to trust him. But you can't totally trust him until you truly know him, his way and his will, which can be found in the Word of God. So we see now that Christian growth is necessary for success in the new year and will support you all the way through eternity. See, there's so many things that God has not revealed at this time. And some people have more revelation than others. And the more you feed, whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. So as you grow, you grow more into the truth, and you see the revelation, and you begin to recognize God's hand in his creation, and you see how he take care of you and love you, and it builds up your faith, and you can walk and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That takes Christian growth day by day. You see, Christian growth is what keeps you in a time of a storm. See, the Holy Ghost will call to your memory the Word of God, but he can't call to your memory if it's not in you. Come on, y'all. If it ain't in, he can't bring it to your memory. It becomes your bridge over troubled water and brings you to safety each time. And then he don't want us to ever worry, because in Philippians 1:6, he said, I'm telling you, be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day Jesus is going, the day of Jesus Christ, when Jesus present us to the Father. And he's telling you, be confident that what he has begun in your life, in my life, in our lives, he's able to perform it. But we got to begin with the inner mind with confidence that if God said it, he can achieve it all by himself. You see, never. This is what I love about God. One of the things, I love so many things. But God never have to have a board meeting or ask permission when he decides to do what he wants to do. What he wants to do and how he wants to do for you and for me. You see, that's why you can say with confidence that what God has for you is for you. Many times people speak that with boldness. What God's got for me, he got for me. Yes, that is true. But it's also true that the service that God has for you to do is for you to do in the kingdom, for kingdom building. Jeremiah lets us know in 29:11, God said, now this before we were born. This was before the foundation of the world. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God has an intended purpose for you, but you must cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead and guide you. And everything is already provided. You cannot lose with what God used. God didn't ask us to sing him a song or be in a choir without giving a gift. God provided the provisions for us to be effective kingdom builders. And God never asked you to do something he hasn't given you the provisions to do it. Why would he ask you to give so-and-so $10,000 if you know you don't have it? But to whom much is given, much is required. And if we look at 33, it said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. You see, this portion of the Sermon on the Mount is summarized by the statement, seek ye first the kingdom of God. To seek means to turn to God first for help, to fill your thoughts with his desires, to take his character for your compass and serve and obey him in everything. Seek him first, not after you done messed up now. You must ask yourself what is really important to you. As we go forth, I'm telling you, people, don't let people, places, or things take first place, because that is what Satan wants you to do. The world standard is a trap door for sin. Remember, sin always promises more than it can deliver. Any of these can quickly become more important to you if you don't actively choose to give God first place in every area of your life. If you seek God first, the scripture go and say all things will be added unto you, spiritual as well as physical. Come on, y'all. But we have to realize it's all God's will, all things through Christ Jesus. That is why you can walk around and say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. God say, I will pour you out blessings that you will not have room enough to receive them. And you got to always remember, God is a God of enoughness. God is a God of enoughness. And verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And look what it says. Sufficient unto the day the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day has its own evil. Evil don't pack up at midnight and leave and might come back in a week or two. Evil is ever present. And evil is doing what evil does. Satan is pumping up the volume. And we as the church in the kingdom of God, one of our responsibilities is we begin to pump up the name of Jesus. And let it begin with each and every one of us. Let our light so shine that men could see the good work and know who you serve. Come on, y'all. You see, Jesus go on and close with take no thought for tomorrow because it takes thoughts of the things of itself. Tomorrow gonna have its own issues. We all know that tomorrow is not promised anyway. Planning for tomorrow will be time spent. And tomorrow may not even come. We see that every day on the telephone with your friend, and an hour later she said she was making all kind of plans. Dead. Don't let your worry about tomorrow affect your relationship with God and others. The scripture is letting us know, live for today, because tomorrow will have its own issues and evil for you to worry about. 2024 came in, and I don't know, you know, people say, oh, a new beginning, and they had so much joy and feeling good and thinking everything is going to be new. But when the clock struck midnight and it became January the 1st, 2024, the evil was already there. And besides the things that was going on in your life, I can't contest to it. But today is January the 3rd. And I believe someone could say some new evils has been added. Don't worry about a hypothetical problem that could arise tomorrow. And I'm not telling you that planning for tomorrow is not good. God gave us the example of the ant. An ant is so little. And an ant know that winter is going to come. And an ant, little as they are, they take little grains, take the grains one by one, and they bring the grains and put it in a molehill. And I'm telling you, some ant hills are so large. He used that to tell us about planning. But you got to keep planning in its perspective. And this is another thing. Whenever you make plans, you have to say, if it's God's will, let it be done. And in our planning and in our prayer, we have to say, not our will, dear God, but your will be done. We have to keep that in mind. So I want to say, get ready in the new year. And some simple things we could do that I thought of that may could help us. We have to stop trying to please everybody. We have to stop fearing change. Many of us have to stop living in the past. And please stop putting yourself down. The Bible said there's no condemnation. Jesus paid the price. We are no longer condemned, and we take time to sit down and figure out how to condemn ourselves. And one thing, stop overthinking every little thing. And I'm going to read them again. Stop trying to please everybody. Stop fearing change. Stop living in the past. Stop putting yourself down. And stop overthinking. And as I close, I'm going to use Matthew 16:26. And it says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So all I can tell you, my sisters and brothers, is to move forward by seeking God first with the word of God. And he promised us that we'll live here peacefully on earth and in eternity with him forever. That's the lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you can press the one button on your phone. Someone might say what they're thinking about for the new year. Caller, your number is 318-779. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 318-779.
I pray that God continue to listen to us and bless you. And I pray that God continue to strengthen your granddaughter and that she gets through whatever she's going through.
I sure do. Thank you, my sister. I receive it. Thank you. Anyone else? Well, I just want to tell everybody Happy New Year. And I thank God that you guys have crossed over in the new year and you took time to call the line. And my prayer is that God continues to bless each and every one of you and your families, your communities, your different cities, and even your different states, that he bless each and every one of us real good. God is still in the truth, is still in the blessing business. He's still working all things out for our good. And he still loves us in spite of and not because of. And if there's no other questions, comments, or concerns at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our prayer warrior, our benediction reader. So your mic is open, Sister Pam.
The benediction tonight reads as, may the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the ways of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this night and forever. Amen.
And what's the book and the chapter and the verse?
I found this Minister Diane in some prayer books that I have, but it didn't say where it came from. So maybe somebody might be familiar with that scripture and maybe let me know where it's at. But it didn't have a book. It didn't have a name where it came from.
That was some good words for benediction as we leave. To hold on to that as we you know, go forward until we meet again. If there's nothing else at this time, I just want to thank you guys again. I pray that God bless each and every one of us as we go forth in Jesus' name. And if it's God's will and your desire, you will be back on next week. But until then, go in peace, and may the love of God be with you all through Christ Jesus. Amen. See you next week. Be blessed.